campaign for U.S. Senate is over, but the accounting continues. The latest batch of campaign finance reports show Democrat Mark Begich spent nearly $10 million and Senator-elect Dan Sullivan spent $7.6 million, pushing the total spent on the race to $60 million. APRN's Liz Ruskin has been combing through the latest FEC reports and has this story.
Congressional campaigns often end in debt. Holly Robichaud, a Republican political consultant unconnected to Alaska, says she actually advises her clients to spend more than they've got.
You know, if you win, you can raise lots of money. If you lose, usually people help bail you out if you don't, get into too much debt.
But after the most expensive election in state history, neither of Alaska's U.S. Senate candidates appear to have taken that sort of advice. The campaigns aren't closed yet, but Sullivan reported no debt and $277,000 in cash on hand on November 24, the end of the reporting period. Begich showed more cash than debt by about $7,000 on that date. Without net debt, a candidate can't accept contributions made after the election. But that doesn't mean contributors aren't eager to help. Consider Altria PAC. Altria is the company that owns tobacco giant Philip Morris. Its PAC sent the Sullivan campaign $5,000 2 weeks after Election Day. It had previously given $5,000 to Begich. Kathy Kiley is a campaign finance expert at the Sunlight Foundation and came up with a name for that: strategic gift revision.
That's the perfect illustration, I think, that the pragmatism of the big political players. Really, it's all about influence. And so he's a senator now, and they are looking to make friends.
Whatever Altria PAC intended, a spokesman for Senator-elect Dan Sullivan says the campaign is sending that money back. Altria, he said, mistakenly believed the campaign had debt to pay off. According to FEC rules on post-election fundraising, a campaign must have more debt than cash on the day it receives a check in order to keep the money. Altria responded to our request for an interview about its contributions in the Alaska race with an email describing the company's commitment to transparency. It appears to be lifted from the company website. But on the same day Altria PAC contributed to Sullivan, they also contributed to a raft of other freshmen who won tough races in Arkansas, Colorado, Iowa, Georgia, and North Carolina. Those other candidates do appear to be able to accept the money to pay off their campaign debt. Kiley says that shows the incumbent advantage in fundraising starts early, even before a senator is sworn in.
So you can see that right away. People who want to be the first in your door with a nice, pleasant green handshake and hope that you'll remember them when the time comes to cast your vote.
In any case, Altria and other would-be Sullivan supporters need not wait any longer to make their campaign contributions. Sullivan this month registered a new campaign committee with the FEC for his next Senate run, just as Begich did a few weeks after his election in 2008. In another rite of freshman passage in the Senate, Sullivan also established a leadership PAC this month, True North PAC. Leadership PACs allow senators to raise money from donors beyond the strict limits of campaign contributions. Lawmakers use them to fund certain expenses and to make campaign contributions to other candidates. Now, since it's the holiday season, let's take a non-cynical view of money in politics. Despite widespread belief that campaign cash sways a lawmaker's decisions, there's little research to prove it.
It's just really hard to separate out the fact that people tend to give to those who agree with them.
That's David Brockman, a political science PhD candidate at Berkeley. He ran a clever experiment that suggests contributions do result in better access. They emailed nearly 100 congressional offices saying they had a group from that lawmaker's district who wanted to meet with the congressmember or top staffers. Brockman says the meeting requests differed in just one way. Half the offices were told the participants would be local constituents. The other half were told the participants would be local campaign donors.
when the individuals were revealed to be donors, they received access at that level almost 20% of the time, whereas when the group was only revealed to be constituents, they received that access just over 5% of the time. So we're talking about a nearly fourfold increase.
Even that could have a more innocent explanation, Brockman says. Lawmakers and congressional staff may think donors are more savvy about policy and more worth their time. In Washington, I'm Liz Ruskin.